All the Rage with John Bowd on www.traxfm.org.
Yes, we've never done that before. I managed to get both guys on. Welcome to John Bowd's All the Rage. If you're seeing the social media posts, it does talk about homelessness, which absolutely. And John was talking about stats, and you're right, John. It's very there's a Homeless Prevention Act that these lot came. There's a lot of social stuff, or brief social stuff, that this current lot did in 2017. That's because the general election didn't give you the majority, so you had to mirror what the other lot are doing. And the Homeless Prevention Act, John, it's very woolly. It doesn't do enough. And you're right. While you and Judge Jim were chatting, and I'm normally very good on the internet, boom, boom, I was trying to find all this different stuff. And it ranges, John, you're absolutely right. It varies. The big issue likes the Homeless Prevention Act, or thinks it goes some way. I see a lot of HR sort of advice to landlords, which is disgusting, on what their rights are, what the landlord's rights are. And it doesn't, it's very woolly, John, and you're right, there's a lack of clarity on statistics. Take it away, John.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. And thank you, Judge Jim. If you're interested in participating in some way in this show, please give us some info as we go along. As Dave pointed out to your listeners, this is the first episode on the particular subject of homelessness. It's a subject I care very much about. It makes me very angry, and it's something I want to stop. Simple as that. We will be focusing on this as best we can. Mainly this week, I think we're going to focus on homelessness itself. To some degree, some of the causes of it, and we also have a little interview with Harrow Law Centre's Pamela Fitzpatrick, who talks in more detail as a frontline employee, I suppose, in fighting against homelessness. I thought her voice was one of the more important ones I could get hold of. I will be endeavouring to talk to a lot more people, and of course, I should throw this out to listeners out there. If there's anyone out there who's experienced homelessness and wishes to participate, please, or has worked in somewhere like the Citizens Advice Bureau, or worked for Crisis or Shelter, or works with organisations like Streets Kitchen, please get in contact. Now, in a later show, probably next week, if I get it well written, we will talk more about some of the organisations that are hoping to prevent and relieve the suffering of homelessness. There are, of course, a very, very large amount of these. Most of the ones I will look at are focused around London, and that's because I'm able to get in better contact with them and actually spend time with them and actually work with them, as I have done a few times in the past. So, it's a big old subject. It's not, homelessness is for life, not just for Christmas, unfortunately. So it's something we're not just going to talk about now. We're going to talk about it as often as we can. But in tonight's show, we're going to begin with homelessness itself. And I thought the best place to begin, of course, will be in regards definitions. So, definitions, as Dave pointed out, can differ, and they can differ between countries in regards what happens within the law. Again, we'll do a deeper dive on that at a later date. However, we'll start with this. Circumstances where a person or persons are without a dwelling on a permanent basis. So that should give you some idea. It differs between countries and regions. If someone sleeps primarily or exclusively in a shelter of any kind, they can be considered homeless. Many charities and organisations have also pushed to better recognise what we often call sofa surfing, which is to not have a permanent residence, sleep at friends' houses, family houses, on almost like a rotating basis, but far more, usually far more disorganised than that, but nevertheless. Okay, so for a UK definition, using the gov.uk guidance on homelessness, data, notes and definition. Now, I haven't got fully into this this particular document as of yet, but I'm going to take a few quotes out of its homepage because I think they're very useful for our need tonight. The term homelessness is often considered to apply only to people sleeping rough. However, many of the statistics on homelessness relate to the statutory homeless, i.e. those households which meet specific criteria or priority needs set out in legislation and to whom a homelessness duty has been accepted by a local authority. Again, the reason, just to run this by you, Dave, the reason I want to do a deeper dive on this is some of this language absolutely fascinates me. Responsibility, legislation, you know, accepted by local authority. I mean, as I think Pamela goes into a bit of detail, and you'll hear in a while, some of these things are, that's exactly what it's about. You know, there's actually a hole in where people are getting connected on this. But anyway, I continue. Such households are rarely homeless in a literal sense of being without a roof over their heads, but are more likely to be threatened with the loss of or are unable to continue with their current accommodation. Well, again, the first question that jumps up for me there is, why would that be? Another good definition, which I happen to like, according to the US Department of Housing and Urban Development, quote, people who are homeless are most often unable to acquire and maintain regular, safe, secure, and adequate housing, end of quote. So within this category, then, we will further define some specifics of homelessness. Let's start with squatting, which is technically a form of homelessness, but could also perhaps be seen more as inadequate housing. Plus, with the problems of rent and mortgages, there's also a lot of elements of the political argument to this. Also, squatting is actually a political act. Now, one of the reasons I mention this is because I remember, among other examples, 1 year working with Crisis at Christmas, and there was an office building that we, this was probably all about, I don't know, 2005, 2006, something like that. Big old tall office building that we were working in. And we set up a whole shelter in this like 5-floor office building that I was like, oh, you know, if they'd given us a couple of floors. And then I investigated and found out, no, actually the whole building was completely abandoned. This was somewhere in Liverpool Street. So around the back of, you're going into some of the sectors where, for those of you not familiar with London, there's the Royal Bank of Scotland and HSBC, I think, have got an office up there. So it's kind of posho town. Lots of money rolling around the place. Then, of course, a little while later on after that, we found out how much this is the case of so many abandoned buildings in the big cities. So when it comes to things like that, when there are people, as there were last winter, literally freezing on the streets of London, when a place like that gets occupied, I have no problem with it. I think we should define the differences between squatting of you know, someone's house of and home, their residence where they actually live, and some business write-off in the middle of town when it's freezing cold and horrendous outside. It's like, you know, I have no problem with anyone squatting that. However, that's squatting's that version. Then there's sofa surfing, which we talked a little bit about, and is really, I don't have any more definitions for it other than to say it's having inadequate, chaotic living arrangements where you might stay at your sister's house tonight, your best friend's house tomorrow. You know, you basically don't have a place of residence. Some, among other testimonies I've heard about this, have included single mothers who have been in situations like this, with, you know, bringing their child, popping their child on the beanbag, and going to sleep for the night. However, the most common form of homelessness, I think, what the layperson would likely associate with the act of being homeless, is street sleeping or rough sleeping, as it's known. Concrete or park, vehicle or shantytown. This is the most visible form of homelessness, with people sleeping in public areas, often with a small bag or bin liner full of what little possessions that they have. There are many issues facing homeless people in the streets, the obvious being the health effects of constant exposure to the elements, lack of cleaning facilities and sleeplessness. There are also the increased chances of being exploited and becoming victims of violence. So we have less obvious forms of the thing of homelessness, and we have the more obvious ones. So yeah, I do want to say a little bit about statistics, and I've got some to look up. So Dave, do you want to jump in, and maybe we'll play a song?
I'm looking at fullfact.org. Now, they're quite accurate, John.
Yeah.
And what the statistics of the government, get the statistics of local authorities. Now, local authorities, with all the best will in the world, are not going to say we've got a lot of people sleeping rough there. No. And it varies. So at the moment, the stats just for London of people sleeping rough, which is the face of homelessness for the people, just, you know, that's the face of homelessness, That works out to about 8,400 people in London, and it varies. But again, it is no definitive. I mentioned London because it's London, and we see it, and it's become a terrible. I think it's a terrible topic. Not terrible to talk about. I think it's a sad indictment on society that we have that. Just like the same indictment that we have food banks. I mean, where did that come from? Where did that word come from? You know, people taking pictures saying, "Look, we opened another one." Well, hey, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that London has to announce it. That, again, why we can't find anything is because we rely on local authorities to give us that information. And local authorities saying, "Yeah, we got a lot," is not a good thing. But then. That's another issue. You're listening to John Bowd's All the Rage here on www.tracksfm.org. When we come back, John will be talking more about homeless. And coming up, we've got Harrow East prospective MP Pamela Fitzpatrick talking about homelessness in Harrow in London.
All the Rage with John Bowd. www.tracksfm.org.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, rock with hip hop. Look what we got here. Yeah, I definitely can relate. One heck of a Christmas present for 88 as I flow and let it go. So fresh like Santa. You have to say ho, ho, ho. So girls and boys, let's make some noise. Give thanks for joys and all goodies and toys for Christmas. Yes, indeed, this must be the greatest holiday treat. So people just buzz how I celebrate as we elevate. Big Daddy Kane is on the mic and I'ma tell a great Christmas line for your delight. That's Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
Son, say, where you at? Yo, son. Son, on the mic, baby. Come on, son. Got you, son. Come on. Let's go. Kick it.
Now, I've been a good girl all year round. And this is what I want from the people who are down. Now, I am mainly speaking about my family and friends. I want a BMW, a Jaguar, or Benz. It really doesn't matter the expense of the gift. Cause being around them is such a spiritual uplift. To think about all year when we're illin'. To get together and just be cold chillin'. Cause in the past year I made a record with Rick. But now I'm gonna end this like Eartha Kitt. It may sound cute or it may sound crazy. But this one's for you, Santa baby.
Ooh.
You hear a lot of jingle bells at Christmas time, but I deck the halls with the Christmas rhyme. Santa used to drive a sleigh in Christmas past. He was chillin' when I seen him last. A Lamborghini with a spoiler kit. Driving looked like Santa, and I said, oh, it's a feeling on my mind in an altered state. But chillin' up north on a reindeer plate instead of Louis Vuitton or Gucci fixes. His rags had pictures of Don and Blitzen's. To top it off, he had a phone in the tent instead of treads, Holmes ties, left footprints. He came to a hall, but he did not screech. And in the back of my mind, some said, don't reach. He said, ho, 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 yo, Shan, loud and clear. I ain't heard a rap from you in a year. Merry Christmas. Here's some beats that's brewed in the broth. And if you don't rock these, that means you're soft. He said, Shan, my man, I got a busy night. And you'll be straight next year if you rock this right. To my surprise, when I woke on Christmas dawn, I couldn't find my tapes and my lyrics were gone. But underneath the tree in a red and blue pack was up cold chill and Warner Brothers contract. So I'm here tonight to share my cheers. So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Okay, you do it again, we'll pick it again. One more time, go ahead.
Now once again, let your hands applause with this contribution to Santa Claus, to Frosty, to Rudolph, etc., etc. Just remember these rhymes we said to you. Tis the season to come to reason. With the good spirit we find to be pleasing, easing every single form of tension. Also, I'd like to mention Merry Christmas to Bismarcky, Coogee Bat Polo, and Craig G. Marley Mar Glamorous, the list goes on, to Powerful Percy and TJ Swan. And to me, Shannon Shante, get the job done. Season's greetings to everyone.
Hold it, Kane. Hold it. It's not over. Wait a minute. Now I'm fly tired with the Christmas tree. The one who makes the juice crew complete. A true professional, not an amateur. The season's greetings from a jolly good manager, FLY.
T-Y, you can't deny. The flies with the fly tie. Colt Tilly with Shantae Shannon Kane here. Not in a rush, I leave it to the reindeer. Yeah, it's strange to see me rapping, but for Christmas, who knows what can happen. So for everybody out there that caught this buzz, have yourself a merry little Christmas.
I told you I could do it. I told you I could do it. I told you. I told you I could do it.
All right, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my name ain't Russell. Andre. I'm for real. This is real. Get out here. Get out here. Merry Christmas from the Juice Crew. Cold chilling. I want a brother.
The sound of Juice Crew, Cold Chilling Christmas. I'd like to thank John Bath for putting that out to me, and he asked to play it, and it's brilliant. I didn't even know it existed. John Bath's All the Rage here on www.tracksfm.org. We're talking about the, and I say it's a thorny subject, and it is a thorny subject because as a society, I don't believe we should have home to people without accommodation or work at reasonable, not reasonable. I think the housing crisis in the UK is a crisis. It's not a word, it's just a fashionable word. It's a crisis, and as a result of that crisis, we have a rise in people with no living accommodation. Do you know, there's 100,000 children that will have no home this Christmas day. That's a really interesting article. That's a sad indictment of the fifth biggest economy in the world. John, take it away.
Yes, indeed it is, Dave. Thank you. We're going to have a little look now at, as we've already mentioned this evening, some of the statistical information where best we can. At the moment, there'll be quite a lot of me pointing you in certain directions for understanding this better. I do feel the need at this point to perhaps make a slight confession as to why I don't have as much of this ready as I would do normally, and that's because I should have written the last part of this show last night, but I went to Brixton to see Young Fathers instead, which was fantastic. But anyway, I'm doing what I can here. So the organisation Homelessness Link is very, very good. Judge Jim mentioned this to me earlier, just now, and I realised when I logged on there, I've actually been on their site before. www.homelessness.org.uk. Lots of facts, lots of analysis of the facts, first-hand reports, experiences from people that they've spoken to, and that kind of thing. They will get mentioned a little bit more as we go on, but that will be more in shows when I talk about organisations and what they're doing to try and prevent and relieve homelessness. That's for a different time because that's a much deeper subject I want to get into. It is difficult to get exact information on homelessness. There's a number of practical reasons for this. People sleeping rough is ever-changing, sometimes daily, and those crashing in various homes and the like are hard to record. Well, we use the best kind of stats that we can. One of the things I also find with a lot of statistics is they tend to be collected and put out sometime afterwards. So the gov.org website, which has the government's official stats, one of the most recent ones I found there was actually from January of this year, and it concerned rough sleeping in England in late 2017. Total numbers during that period were 4,751 recorded ones. That was a rise of 15% from the same period in 2016. And increases in the rest of England went up by 14% over that same time period. 14% of rough sleepers were women, 20% were non-UK nationals, and 8% were under 25 years old. There was also an interesting... I think it's worth going back in time a little bit because my belief is that the major problems of homelessness in this country started around about 30 years ago and have got particularly difficult since 2010 for reasons that are so blatantly obvious I won't insult your intelligence by pointing it out. But the Channel 4 News in the UK did an interesting story in 2014 finding out that one in five people aged 16 to 25 from a survey of 2000 had sofa surfed in that past year. That was conducted on behalf of the homeless charity Centrepoint. At the end of October 2018, Crisis reported record levels of rough sleeping in London. The Islington Gazette published an interesting story on the 6th of December, which said of 50 volunteers, or over 50 volunteers, went out on a rough sleep count in the borough just to create a snapshot, and on one night they counted 43 people. So that gives you some idea. Now, I was going to talk about causes of homelessness. But I thought actually the best way to do it at the moment is to hand over to Pamela. So if we play, if you're ready for this, Dave, if we play the interview with Pamela, because she goes into much more detail than I can, and see what you think of that.
All the Rage with John Bowd. www.tracksfm.org.
I said we'd be back to talking soon, and it's sooner than I thought, because there was something I forgot. So, homelessness. So you encounter someone who's homeless. I can encounter somebody on the street, for instance. What do I do? Where do I send them? What are their options?
Okay. If it's somebody who's literally on the street, homeless, the best thing you could do in Harrow is send them to the Civic Centre. There is the Firm Foundation that has a drop-in for single homeless, but if it's somebody with a family who are vulnerable, go to the Civic Centre. If in doubt which to send them to, send them to the Civic Centre. If it's somebody who is still living in their accommodation but they're being threatened with eviction, so they've got bailiffs or people telling them to leave, they really shouldn't leave until there's a court order. So even if they've had a notice from the court telling them that they've got to leave the property, don't leave, wait till after Christmas and get some advice, you know, about what to do.
Just a quick practical question. What does a court order look like? How does it differ from someone just basically, some gorilla waving a piece of paper at you and telling you to get out?
Well, whatever it is, just don't get out. You don't have to get out until you will have had a series of court papers. There'll be a document that will show which court it's from. Usually it's from a county court, and in Harrow, the county courts that usually deal with things are either Wilsdon County Court or Watford County Court. So do not leave the property until you can get advice. There is, over Christmas things do close down a bit, but there is a helpline at Shelter, the National Homelessness Charity. The Law Centre will be open after Christmas, day after New Year's Day. There's also the council emergency number that you can ring, which is the Civic Centre number. If you're in doubt, just go to the Civic, the Harrow Council website, which will have all the numbers on. So stay put unless you've got a court order. You should have had sufficient documentation that you'd know that there's a court order and when you've got to leave. If you're street homeless, go to the council basically, and they will direct you either to put you into temporary accommodation or refer you to someone like the Firm Foundation if you're a single person.
So, no major problem. We can always edit any background noise out.
No.
Are you doing what?
Yeah,
this is my son Ben.
Sorry, I didn't know.
This is John.
Oh yeah, no, we're just doing this for the major. We don't mind. We'll just cut this one. Okay.
Yeah, I'll see you.
Cheers, mate. Sorry. So you're saying if you're single homeless in the street, you go to the Civic Centre.
Yes, and my son's just appeared, somebody who came across a young person who'd run away from care home because he'd been threatened with a knife, and instead of sending him to the Civic Centre, he brought him home. I'd advise doing that. But if it was a young person in that situation, you can take them to the police station and the police would assist to get them into basically, you know, some kind of safe environment. But if in any doubt, the easiest thing is the Civic Centre, the council, to get in touch with them to get help.
Okay. So I'm only just thinking about some people who have bad experiences with the police, but like you say, the law is the law, so they...
Well, this is the problem, that people may be frightened, you know, so you could accompany somebody to the police station if you thought, but probably my preference would be go to the Civic Centre, because there will be somebody there. There's an emergency number on...
The emergency number for homelessness assessment in the Harrow area is 0208 863 5611, and that is the out of hours number. In hours, I might as well read that one too, is 0208 424 1093, and email is homeless.homeless@harrow.gov.uk. Thanks again.
John Bouts, John the Rage, all the on Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM.
Many thanks to that. I left a bit in there because Pamela's son had walked in, and then she had mentioned what he had done, brought someone home. John's not saying that. And we mentioned about the court order. Now, I've just been looking up the legalities of the court order. Now, it used to have, with the court order, you had 21 days to leave the premises or the property. That has now been extended to 56 days. But you still have to get out. Yeah. It's terrible, really, isn't it? The government have promised an extra £750 million. How are they going to distribute that to all the local authorities throughout the UK? I don't know. There's a lot. I have a lot more questions on this issue than, and I don't think we're going to be given much answers. And I think I saw one comment the other day where someone said, "Well, some people choose to be homeless and they spend all their money on drink and drugs." So would that apply to the 100,000 children that will be homeless this Christmas? I don't know. John, take it away.
That's a fairly common response from people who I'm being polite about in saying I don't think they know what they're talking about. But I'll be interested in that. The motivation for wanting to be homeless. You know, I mean, I've worked some shitty jobs in my time, but the idea that actually people are really just sort of dropping out of having to go to do any kind of work and benefits, the kind of benefits hatred culture that we have in this country, it's very intriguing to me, because one of the things about it doesn't actually make any sense, and yet people still say it. But anyway, while I was writing, I was preparing to write about the subject of homelessness, I asked a few people that I know to tell me what they think of when they think of homelessness. And the responses I got were quite sad and full of empathy, for better or worse. One person I know listed the words that came into their mind, and they were desperation, vulnerability, pain, sorrow, helplessness, despair, loneliness, mental illness, sleeping in cars or parks, and lastly, just the word hidden, which I thought was an interesting comment. Another person I spoke to listed questions that come into their mind when they see the homeless. What are the circumstances that made them end up like this? Where is the government help? Are they being missed by their families? Do their families know that they are alive? And on the question of what we can do, the response was simple. It was feed them, clothe them, get them warm, and restore their dignity. Now, I know opinions divided sharply on this subject. And some, many dedicated campaigners or former homelessness themselves detest any kind of pity. But in comparison to the media response that we often see, particularly towards refugees and immigrants, among others, I include these examples for their sharp difference to those. So I'm not looking to be condescending to anybody here who is experienced or is experiencing homelessness. I just think that it's interesting that I farmed this question out to a handful of people I know. Yeah, it's not a very scientific study, I'll grant you. But none of them came back with, they're all drug-addled pissheads who have, are doing it on purpose, and their dogs are smelly or whatever else, you know, none of that kind of stuff. Maybe I just know some better people, but anyway. Now, causes, that brings us nicely on to some of the causes of homelessness. This is, of course, open massively for debate, and to be honest, we could probably do a whole show just about the causes of homelessness. We'll have to put a rain check on that one. But they are sometimes individualized and sometimes much larger, more collective, as studies have shown us. The main causes tend to be some kind of family breakdown, some kind of problems with work, not being paid. There is a common stat that goes around a lot of the time that says everyone is around 3 paychecks away from being homeless. And I've no doubt in the big bad cities that many of us live in, it's that sounds about right to me. For my mind, however, no doubt the increase of the last 30 years or so is absolutely down to the selling off of council properties, coupled with a lack of control over landlords and rent rises. And this was something that was confirmed when I spoke to Pamela. She said that that sort of thing does cause them a great deal of trouble. You heard her talking there in the bit of interview that we played, where she talked about what you do if someone, you know, knocks on your door and says you've got to leave. Well, for starters, you don't leave. But anyway, you can listen back to that. All of this was a part of the war against the working class that we discuss very regularly on this show. Now, you would think this would be better reflected, some of the points that I've made before just now with people I've spoken to and some of the causes of homelessness. However, responses have been a little different to that in the wider world. And I'm probably just focusing on this country right now. We've seen condemnation from governments and councils of people who engage in, quote, undignified, unquote, activities, such as begging. Some going so far as to try to fine people for begging, and then doing so or banning their presence from places like the town centre. The cleaning up of the streets is rarely to the benefit of the homeless. It's actually more of a cleansing exercise. And there was a bit of controversy earlier on in the summer when Prince Harry and his lady got married. And I say this mainly because I know we have international listenership and they might not have seen this in the international fawning over a couple of overprivileged twits getting married. But there was a point that Windsor Council are effectively trying to hustle the homeless off the streets so everyone could queue up and eat their buttered scones and wave their flags without having to be near a smelly homeless person. So, yeah, I think they backed down on some of that in the end because the public outcry was so disgusted. Then we have, as I think have already been mentioned this evening, those wonderful smiling Conservatives MPs opening food banks like it is something they should be proud of. Lots of backward social attitudes remain. The homelessness are all just failures who enjoy the lifestyle and will not work, or they're all drug addicts and drunks. Yeah, we've done this. No doubt the regime of punishment that is austerity has helped this, along with banning rough sleeping and begging, awarding fines even to those doing it. And in the cities, we've seen many private buildings that are just left unoccupied, as I talked about earlier, and that sort of thing. Councils in some part of the UK have embarked on, as we mentioned, the clean-up campaigns, including banning from town centres. Now, the town centre thing was done under public space protection orders, or PSPO, that finds that those sleeping rough, despite Home Office guidance telling them not to do this, by the way. To be fair, on the Home Office, they don't tell local councils to behave this way. But nevertheless, they routinely fine homeless people hundreds of pounds, and in some cases, they can be sent to prison for the repeat offence of asking for money. Local authorities in England and Wales have issued hundreds of fixed penalty notices and pursued criminal convictions for begging, persistent and aggressive begging, and loitering since gaining strengthened powers to combat antisocial behaviour in 2014 by then Home Secretary Theresa May. Right, I just want to give me a second because again, I'm on the gov.uk site talking about homelessness, and there's a thing here about statutory homelessness. Yeah, okay, so this is from gov.uk. Each housing authority is required to consider housing needs within its area, including the needs of homeless households to whom local authorities have a statutory duty to provide assistance. We all know, of course, that the most common form of homelessness is single men. But nevertheless, I'd be interested what they meant by homeless households there, but there you are. They then referenced the Housing Homeless Persons Act of 1977, the Housing Act of 1996, and the Homelessness Act of 2002, which placed statutory duties on local housing authorities to ensure that advice and assistance to households who are homeless or threatened with homelessness is available free of charge. All households that apply for assistance under the Housing and Homelessness Acts are referred to as decisions. However, these do not include households found to be ineligible for assistance. Some persons from abroad are ineligible for assistance. Okay, so there's a couple of things I want to go into there. Let's start at the back there. Firstly, some people from abroad are ineligible for assistance. So when you get people going, oh, foreigners coming over here and taking our free flat. Well, no, it's really not very easy to do that. In fact, you actually have to work for a period of time before you even get any basic benefits. Now, the assistance and advice to households who are homeless or threatened with homelessness available free of charge. Well, where does that come from? Well, traditionally it comes from places like the Citizens Advice Bureau, CAB offices, of which a tremendous amount have been shut down during the austerity regime. It also comes from places like the law centres, such as Pamela's one in Harrow, which are massively overburdened with having to find housing for people, having to find shelter, having to find places where people can gain adequate food and assistance. So there you are. And decisions. Well, yes, the decisions are often made by panels of people who are, this is even before we get into the kind of medical elements of those that are unfit to work and stuff like that. This is many of these shows I do on homelessness are actually going to cross over with shows I do about poverty in general, kind of like the modern forms of poverty. So we'll talk about joblessness and what happens to people in those situations. Poor housing. In regards to poor housing, there's an interesting article that popped up here from the Aberystwyth University that says poor housing stock in the UK is creating a winter health crisis. And this is published on the 12th of November this year. The Conversation, which I believe is a magazine by Dr. Judith Thornton, low carbon manager at the Beacon Project and Aberystwyth University. And she discusses excess winter deaths and how they could be tackled by improving housing. I'd like to point this out again to all listeners in the UK and those of you outside the UK that during the last winter we had an increase in people freezing to death in the streets. There was some squatting done by organisations like Street Kitchen and people like that, which I wholeheartedly supported, both physically and ideologically. But and again, hopefully we'll get in contact with some people from around the world to discuss this in more detail. But just let me a couple of bits from this article. Many have become used to the fact that NHS hospitals are stretched to their absolute limits in winter, with most blame being put on the lack of funding and staff. But what is less known is significantly more people die in winter in general compared to the rest of the year. The excess winter mortality of 2016-2017, calculated from the number of deaths in December to March, compared with the preceding August to November of the following April to July, was 34,300. Quite literally, winter kills people. And then the article goes on to discuss main reasons for excess winter's death. The increase in both likelihood and severity of respiratory illnesses that occur during cold weather, including complications that can arise from flu. People who spend more time indoors in close proximity to others, the immune system is weakened by cold weather, and low temperatures also increase the survival time of bacteria. So all of this, of course, keys into having really inadequate housing, whether you're living outside of a house or whether you're living inside of one, because that often adds to, as we know, from medical reports, into respiratory problems and leads to literally to early death. And that's just one example. Never mind if you're actually sleeping in the street, which is a whole new realm of suffering. I suppose, actually, I was going to say a little bit about some points I've picked up of people's everyday life of living homelessness, but actually, Dave, do you want to jump in and add a little here?
I think certainly looking at the figures, before 8 years ago, we saw a lot of things happen socially on the basis of a failed the banking crisis, the financial crash, and the Prime Minister at the time, Gordon Brown, got a pat on the back, and then we had the coalition of chaos from 2010, where the Liberal Party just forgot everything that they just put their manifesto in the bin, basically, and it just it got worse, and we saw the rise of food banks from 500 to I don't know what it is now. And with that, the first casualty is homelessness, and that's always a good indictment of where we are as a society. I say it's And people say, well, you're going to talk about the 70s and how it was, and that was the old days. If I do mention the 70s, because I think we were in an era, or we were in an era of a compassionate society. And I think from 1980 onwards, put aside your politics, from 1980, where we got into something called, if you want a health service, or you want to go and see a doctor, you're going to pay for it. If you want gas, you're going to pay for it. If you want electricity, you're going to pay for it. If you want a community centre, you're going to pay for it. If you want a park or somewhere for the kids to play, you go and pay for it. If you want a car factory, you're going to pay for it. And if you get in the way of that, we're going to wipe out communities. And that's what happened in the 80s. That is exactly what happened in the 80s. The coal industry, well, it was dying, so we just got rid of it. Because there's no need for fossil fuel anymore. Well, actually, you're spending over £250 million plus a year to bring in coal from abroad, while we're standing on a gold mine in regards to coal. So, you know, on the basis of you wiped out communities, because they were standing up, those communities were standing up to sort of austerity. That has continued since 2009 and 2010. Based on us saving the financial institutions. Basically, what happened was, John, you nationalised financial institutions. Yeah, and nothing.
Yeah.
And people woke up the next day. You know, it wasn't a bad thing, was it?
No, I mean, and it's very important to say, and I'm not the first person to say this by any stretch of the imagination, but in 2008, what we had was socialism for the rich and austerity for everybody else. Certainly the banks, I mean, bear in mind, you know, when people talk about this being sort of non-political in some way, the banks got absolutely everything they wanted. I mean, they pissed the money up the wall. They had one lot of quantitative easing and they spunked all that away too. So they had another lot of it. They are genuinely, I mean, I don't know what the qualifications for being a banker are, but they did not look particularly good at that time. None of them went to court. None of them, even those that actually performed acts of theft, you know, they got anything that they wanted to, and all of the burden of all this came down on us. And because of wars against the working class, such as what you've mentioned that began in the 80s, we were not in a strong enough position to fight back against this. So absolutely, I link all of this back to that. So any young people who you know, listen to your hits of the 80s and go, oh, that seems like a really interesting decade. It wasn't, okay? We lived through it. It was horrible. So yeah, it's a horrendous concept. Actually, no, I don't know. I just don't want to go on a stupid rant about this, but it's yeah, that's I absolutely agree with what you're saying there, Dave. Bang on the money.
Okay, after the music break, we're going to come back with John, and we're going to be talking everything.
With John Bowd. www.tracksfm.org.
Funny that, was just in the shower, and completely out the blue it came back to me that I once spent Christmas in a crack house. Wow, I'd buried that one detail now. I remember really wanting to leave, to be with my family. Family. But somehow, indebted to the crack house, that we were in this shit together. Me and Curtis sitting Christmas out. Funny that, was just in the shower. Completely out the blue, it came back to me that I once spent Christmas in a crack house. Wow, I buried that one deep till now. I remember really wanting to leave, to be with my family. Family. But somehow,
back to me that I once spent Christmas in a crack house. Wow. Christmas in a crack house. Wow. Funny that was just in the shower.
The sound of a wonk unit. Sorry, 2 minute tracks, 3 minute tracks these days. What happened to the old 12 inch that lasted all day?
You could go out and do your shopping. Yeah.
John Bowd's All the Rage. We're talking about homelessness. I saw a brilliant interview and I put it on Facebook and people have just liked it. John Barnes, the footballer, talking about the Raheem Sterling, because it's in football, it was raised, you know. And John was really articulate, and he put forward a good point where he said, and it's a shame, I was meant to rip it today and put it on, but now John's on, and he spoke about that as a society, it's not just because three people were shouting at Raheem Sterling. And he said, what he said was, it was the people that probably wanted to say it and didn't. And he said, that's the problem. And he spoke about, he said, look, I've never met Piers Morgan. I like Piers Morgan. I'm sure he's a lovely bloke. But he said, because of the way he acts, if Piers Morgan was black or a woman, he would be sacked. Or they wouldn't put him on telly. But because he's middle class white, it's acceptable for him to behave like that. And that is a really good point. And what John said is that we have to identify it as a society that has been going on 100 years. Now, he also mentioned, and I thought this was really good, he mentioned we talk about Muslim grooming gangs or Yardie gangsters or Muslim terrorists. And he said that the mainstream media will indoctrinate us to thinking that. They won't say, well, there actually are a lot more other paedophiles, or there are a lot more other gangs, or there are other terrorists rather than Muslims. They're not just Muslims, he said, but it's the mainstream media that indoctrinate people. It tells them that, and they believe what they read. And he did say that society as a whole, including the normal black person in vulnerable areas of the country who have no prospect of working or jobs, and he felt that they're the ones who say, I'll never be an actor, or I'll never win a Grammy, or I'll never be a football manager, or I'll never do these things. And we have to identify with these people what it is. And he said it's not going to happen overnight, because racism is hundreds of years old. And it's actually got slicker because of the mainstream media that put badges on certain things. As I said, Muslim grooming gang, that's a new word, isn't it? Muslim terrorists. When I was growing up, there was the IRA. And they were lethal, mate. They were on rucksack business. They just gave you 5 minutes and then blow up a train station. The FBI said that they were actually more trained than any army they've ever met. And it was a really good interview. I thought John was brilliant. I think they brought him on just to talk about football, but he spoke about everything, about society and racism and the mainstream media. John?
Yes, well, firstly, I suspect the conservative response will be to tell him to shut up and go back to playing football or whatever. But it's always a way whenever they, you know, if he'd come out and spoke in favour. I mean, adding on top of what he said about Piers Morgan, which is I think is correct. You know, it would have been like, if he isn't saying the things we want to hear, then it's like, oh, shut up and sing, or shut up and play, you know, that kind of attitude. Always away with these right-wing snowflakes, they're all the same. Yeah, I mean, I think also that ties in, the example you've used there is quite a nice one, because it ties into, again, the ideas that people have about the homeless. And I have some stuff, I made some notes on some kind of reports people have made on their daily life. I think maybe we should leave them for next week because we're running a bit late now. But I there's a few bits that I want to say, but I will bridge into this is where you're coming from with that, is to say, you know, people were, you know, the homeless are all like this in the same way that this group are all like this, you know, Muslims all like this, that, the other, or whatever else. Yeah, so it's all part of the same thing. I mean, this is why I believe this anyway, as a trade unionist and as an internationalist, that very much the kind of trade union notion of an injury to one is an injury to all. And I think now more than ever, that's something that happens to absolutely any group, you know. It's especially when it comes to institutions like the British media, who are interested in division, have far too much money, and don't care about the consequences of anything they say or anything that they do. And I just want to say, as part of closing tonight, one good example you see sometimes from more mainstream situations is discussing former armed forces personnel who are experiencing homelessness, which is a very high amount. Now, I have absolutely as much and equal levels of empathy and understanding for these people, whatever their backgrounds are. What I don't do, however, is put them on a higher plane, because I just don't believe that it's another form of dividing and conquering. Nobody should be living in the streets, no matter what they've done. Even people I don't like shouldn't be living, you know, in the streets. Even the guy that yells at me when I'm on my delivery because he's mad. I don't like him, but he shouldn't be living in the street. Simple as that. We should resist all attempts, I think, to categorise those who belong in the streets and those who don't, or who should be given better access to resources over others. We want everyone off the streets. We want an end to homelessness. You know, let's do something really powerful and meaningful and put an end to the whole concept of not having a home, of being that vulnerable. And I think we can do it. And the way we're going to do it is in many ways that I'm going to talk to you about next week, when we talk about charity, solidarity, resistance, and fighting back. In the meantime, that is show number one on homelessness. May I just make a couple of quick recommendations? Go to Homeless Link, which is a page for, as I mentioned, for lots of good information. The gov.uk definition of homelessness is worth committing to memory if you can. And also, if you go to SoundCloud and you search out my name, I'm going to upload the full interview that I did with Pamela. We may dip into it in later episodes for where it's useful, but also I just thought I'd put the whole unedited thing up if anyone just wants to have a listen to it, because I think it's well worth checking out. So thank you for listening. Thank you for Judge Jim earlier on for his help with the information and interacting. And as ever, Dave, thank you to you for running this lovely ship called All the Rage.
Thank you very much, John. And John will be back next week and Boxing Day. We've got some good stuff on www.tracksfm.org.
All the Rage with John Bowd. On www.tracksfm.org.